Welcome to the Lemper Report Live. Today, what's missing in the White House's cancer moonshot? Blue Apron's marketing finally seems to be on target. How about a kiss in Whole Foods aisles? Our friend Al Roker celebrates black leaders. Thumbs up for Safeway. And on the Lemper Report, we're going to take a look at kids' loneliness. Very serious problem. And Bullseye's focus on Domino's latest marketing coup. And on the Morning Fix, we talk everything you ever want to know about broccoli. Let's get started. Sally, what's the news about Biden's cancer moonshot?
Hi, Phil. The Biden administration is reigniting a program that he started back in 2016 when he was the vice president, and that is the cancer moonshot to end cancer as we know it. Now, we both know that that President Biden lost a son, Beau Biden, to brain cancer. So I imagine this is very close to him, as a lot of us. I don't really think I know anybody that hasn't been affected by cancer. So looking through this, there are some really great initiatives that have to do with fast tracking research and cancer screening and a lot of great efforts to bring those cancer numbers down. But I want to read something to you that I read on the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. And this is what I was hoping you would comment on, Phil. It says here, it has been estimated that 30 to 40% of all cancers can be prevented by lifestyle and dietary measures alone. When a diet is compiled according to the guidelines, here it is likely that there would be at least 60 to 70% decrease in breast, colorectal, and prostate cancers, and even a 40 to 50% decrease in lung cancer.
So there's no question, we've seen the data for years that talks about what we eat and what disease states we can prevent. So that's the good news. The bad news is, in this cancer moonshot, as I've gone through everything, they don't even talk about health and nutrition. Not a nickel is going for education. And to be honest with you, to me, you know, Congress is investing $1.8 billion, 7 years of new funding for cancer research in many areas, but nothing about nutrition. And, you know, I really think that they're missing something here that's huge.
Yes, I agree. And we're going to talk about this later in a Safeway story, but I would really like to see them provide some programs with incentives for food retailers to up their game as selling fruits and vegetables and healthier foods. How about working with food companies to make products that have better for us ingredients?
Yeah, absolutely. And there was some stat in here that I didn't know that's really shocking to me, that during the pandemic, 9.5 million people have missed their cancer screenings in the U.S. as a result of the pandemic. So now more than ever, we really need to get our act together on this and have, you know, full attention on it. But hey, you know, President Biden, give us a little bit money for nutrition education at retail. We need that. So, Sally, what about Blue Apron? Blue Apron looks like, you know, 6 months ago, they were probably ready to go out of business. But now they've come up with a marketing idea that, frankly, I think is really smart.
Yeah, I think this is really cool, too, Phil. They have worked with Panasonic in creating a 4-in-1 multi-oven that just goes right on top of your counter. You can use it for baking. It's an air fryer. It's a microwave. It's a flash broiler. And what it works with is these heat and eat meals that you can order through a subscription through Blue Apron.
Yeah, I think it's very smart. The only thing that I don't like is you have to buy it for $529.95. I think you can get a microwave these days for about $100, if not less. And the good news is that you get $120 off of 5 meal boxes. But to be honest with you, I think that they should give it out free. I think that the whole idea would be get a subscriber. Every time you order, you could actually get this oven at no cost. And I think that that would get a lot more people Involved in it, but good for a Blue Apron. They're thinking and hopefully it works. Whole Foods is gearing up for Valentine's Day. What's going on?
Well, Whole Foods this year is doing something called Gourmet Date for Good, which is a series of three virtual online cooking cook-along events, and these are with three different celebrities. The first one, which will be the Galentine's Day event, which is on February 13th, is with Heather McMahon, who is a regular on Today with Hoda and Jenna, and she'll be joining her mom and her sister, and they're going to make steak crostini and basil vinaigrette sauce, so that's great. And then on February 14th for Valentine's Day, Tabitha Brown and her husband Chance, who now she's an actress but also an advocate of a vegan lifestyle, they're going to make a pasta. And then on February 15th, author, podcast host Matt Bellasse, is going to make a chocolate lava cake with all those singles out there who are celebrating Singles Awareness Day.
Yeah, I think that this is a really cool idea of what Whole Foods is doing. I'm interested to see just how many people are going to sign up for it. You also have a Q&A at the end of it. I'm looking. Does this cost anything?
You have to
make a donation through Eventbrite.
Correct. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite things about this, because the donation that you make goes to the Independent Restaurant Coalition, which is an organization that is helping local restaurants and bars who have been affected by COVID.
Yeah, very, very cool idea. Thumbs up to Whole Foods for doing this. I wish more retailers would follow through. Tell me about, our buddy Al Roker.
Well, as we all know, it's Black History Month, a very important time where we celebrate the achievements and the contributions and breakthroughs that Black Americans have had. And this year, the theme, which I did not know, that I actually didn't know that there was a theme, and I just learned that today, but they do have a theme every year. And this year, the theme is Black health and wellness. So they're focusing on the rituals, familiar rituals and practices that are celebrated in the Black community to improve wellness. And I think that's wonderful. And so Al Roker, your old coworker here, it has written this article here on Afro.com, and he is praising some of these wonderful people out there that are working to help the Black community with food insecurity. There's nearly one in four Black individuals that are at risk for hunger, and that is more than three times the rate in white households.
Yeah, and one of the people that he talks about is Chef Grant, who is an Army medic. He retired after 20 years in the Army, and then went back to school to become a chef. And now he works at a soup kitchen in Georgia. Very, very cool. Like that idea a lot. What's going on with Safeway?
Well, Safeway is beginning online programs to provide an opportunity for people that are using SNAP benefits to buy their food online and have it delivered, or they can pick it up. In addition to that, they are offering a $10 coupon for each $10 of benefits they spend on fruits and vegetables. Now, what's really important about this program, and Phil, I went on the USDA website to see how many retailers there are across the country that are allowing people to buy foods with SNAP benefits online. And there are a lot of them. Aldi is all over, Publix, Walmart, Amazon. I did not see Kroger anywhere on the list. But they're offering some other great benefits along with this. One, the benefits you get to spend, the coupons you get to spend on fruits and vegetables, but they're also trying to work with clinics so that they can fulfill prescriptions for food when people have an illness and their doctor thinks that they need some nutrition treatment, then they can get a prescription for that, and then they can bring that to Safeway and cash it in for food.
Yeah, it's a great program, and I give Safeway a lot of credit. But also, you know, credit goes to Chef Michelle Nashon, because Michelle is the first one who really stood up, I want to say about 25 years ago, at farmers markets and said, we're going to match however much money you spend on SNAP with that much. So you spend $25 on produce, they're going to give you $25. And his foundation has done a fabulous job. And I'm just so happy that this has gone mainstream. It's a great program. And again, kudos to Safeway. Their program is called Nourish Everyone, which is a great name for it as well. So right before, you know, we got together on air, I got this email that I have to share with you, Sally. Miller Lite is having a contest to give you $500 to take a metaverse break during Super Bowl. So, you know, we talked about the metaverse last week a lot. So it's the Meta Lite Bar. It's officially opened in the Decentraland, open for people 21 plus, and you could stop by now to win $500 to fund your game day celebrations. You can check it out, MillerLite.com/MetaLiteBar, L-I-T-E, bar, and, you know, go to the metaverse and let's see what's going on there.
It's interesting.
So today on the Lemper Report, we're going to take a look at what could be one of the most serious issues that we face today. And it's all about our kids, and it's all about loneliness. Mitch Prinstein, a clinical psychologist and chief science officer for the American Psychological Association, is very concerned that with all this talk about and move to the metaverse, we're headed for a disaster. The mental health experts are asking if the metaverse will be a safe place, especially for kids and teens. We go back in time to Second Life, we discovered that it wasn't that safe for anyone, let alone teens. But have we not learned anything since the launch back in 2003? Back in September, the Wall Street Journal published those confidential Facebook documents that showed that its platforms, especially Instagram, were harmful to a significant percentage of teens, most notably teenage girls, and specifically when it comes to body image issues. Facebook's internal documents said that among teens that reported suicidal thoughts, 6% of American users traced the issue directly to Instagram. 32% of the girls said when they already felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel even worse. Fast track to 2022. Albert Rizzo, a psychologist who serves as the director for medical virtual reality at USC's Institute for Creative Technologies, says that today's social media platforms are already dangerous for some kids and teens. Virtual reality's level of immersion could make those problems even worse. There's a potency about being immersed in a world that is different than observing and interacting through a flat screen monitor, he says. Once you're actually embodied in a space, even though you can't be physically touched, we can be exposed to things that take on a level of realism that could be psychologically assaulting. He says that this is creating more loneliness. This is creating far more body image concerns and exposure to dangerous content that's related to suicide. One game publisher, VRChat, already shows evidence of dangers for young users. In December, research from the nonprofit Center for Countering Digital Hate found that minors were regularly exposed to graphic sexual content, racist and violent language, bullying, and other forms of harassment on VRChat's platform, which is typically accessed through Meta's Oculus headsets. The CEO, Imran Ahmed of CCDH, told CNBC that virtual reality does need a lot of safety built in from the start, because you can't search the metaverse for hate or sexual abuse, he says. You can't. It happens in an instant, and there's nothing you can do. Top line is, as the metaverse is still in its infancy, we must build a metaverse responsibility doctrine and enforce it. Our kids' mental well-being and future is at stake. Just last week, we started a new feature from the Retail Dietitians Business Alliance. It's called The Morning Fix, where we spend just 15 minutes talking to an industry leader. This week, it's how we might just have solved George Bush's taste problems. Jenny Maloney, the Global America Strategic Accounts Manager for Bayer, shares the backstory of the success and innovation of Bayer's new high-rise broccoli. For the complete episode, just go to retaildietitians.com. So let's head into the grocery store. So you have a focus group, if you would, of three, you know, kids. They liked it. What else did you do to prove that, you know, this product kids would love, and to get, you know, our retail dietitians to taste it for themselves, demo it, put it in their recipes, and make it a really kid-friendly, you know, resource?
Well, we were out in the field, the grower of this product, a couple of my Bayer colleagues, and we tasted the broccoli in the field and said, this is great. What can we be doing to introduce this to kids? And immediately we thought of school districts who, you know, are one of the biggest restaurants in the United States. I think before COVID, you know, schools were serving almost 300 million lunches a day. And so you talk about a demographic that's there and getting feedback all the time. So we do a lot of work with the United Fresh Foundation, which is now part of the International Fresh Produce Association. They do a lot of work with school children. We used to, before COVID, do a salad bar donation to a handful of schools every year. During COVID, we had to get a little bit more creative. Salad bars are still not back in vogue with concerns about touching things. But one of the things that we said is, let's partner with some of the local school districts where this grower was growing broccoli and see if we can get some of the school food service directors to try out our broccoli stems, see if, you know, broccoli stems could be the new baby carrot. We were lucky enough to partner with a couple of school districts in the Monterey, California area, and harvested our broccoli. Our grower donated all the broccoli to the school that week. And one of the teachers volunteered his time and did a mini kitchen out during lunchtime out on the blacktop, sauteed our broccoli, cut the stems into what I call coins or stars. We call them brock stars, sauteed the broccoli, talked about our varieties, how they grow. And if you look at some of the pictures, they were served on paper plates. And every single paper plate that was put into the trash can was virtually lit clean. So we had students that came back for seconds, thirds, fourths, and even fifths to eat more broccoli stems. So I would say it is hard to impress elementary school kids. And by the showing of the clear paper plates that it was the Brock Stars were a hit.
And now it's time for the bullseye. In a rather brilliant marketing move, maybe, Domino's has announced that they're going to give customers $3 to not have their pizza delivered and to pick it up instead. Whole bunch of reasons here. First, the shortage of Domino's delivery drivers. Second, and perhaps more importantly, there's no way that Domino's can deliver a pizza to me for $3. Domino's, like every other food service operator, is faced with higher costs, labor increases, ingredient price increases, increased fuel costs to drive those deliveries. In fact, they've actually cut the number of chicken wings in a package from 10 to 8, so we wouldn't have sticker shock when we ordered those chicken wings. The $3 discount, or what Domino's is calling our tip, is good on your next order. And while we don't know the rate of redemption just yet, it should prompt repeat business. But I must wonder if $3 is enough in the consumer's mind. When we start to add up the numbers, it appears that Domino's is going to make a lot more dollars on pickup versus delivery. And will customers say, hey, for $3, the convenience is worth it to have the delivery? The cost for me to get in my car, drive there, pay for the gas is much more than $3. But there is a lesson here, one that we've talked about for quite a while. As supermarkets move to push shoppers to click and collect and away from delivery, shoppers will want a reward. Yes, it could be the $10 that on average a supermarket loses on every delivery order, or maybe we need just to put on our marketing hats. How about developing a rewards program for those who opt to pick up? collect points that build to rewards for free product, discounts, swag, something. Grocery retailers need to offer inducements for shoppers to do curbside pickup. Otherwise, what could be a good, stable, and profitable business may never achieve its potential. So Sally, any comments or questions today?
Yes, we've got a few here. Dave Foreman wrote into us about the Domino's story and says, "Ha, $3. I guess I've been over tipping the pizza guy. They may have created their own challenge for retaining drivers with this stunt."
Agree 100%.
I also like what John Pandall has to say regarding this story. "If I asked my mother for a sandwich, she would say, get up and make it yourself. Domino's is now doing the same. Great reality check. The truth of the last mile is there is no such thing as free delivery."
Very well said, John, as always. And when we look at the whole fast delivery that's taking place, and we've talked about that before, in New York, it's absurd. All these delivery companies, you know, are being fueled by VC dollars. They're not making money. They're never going to make any money if it's at this kind of rate. And we're just fooling ourselves and wasting a lot of time and a lot of dollars that could go elsewhere.
Well, John Pandall also says, "Please suggest dietitian funding for the behavioral change side. We know fruits and veggies are good for you, but how do we get people to eat them regularly?" And I agree with that.
Yeah, and John, you bring up, you know, something that has bothered me for a long time. And PMA is a great organization, but when I look at the five-a-day program that's been around now for 20, 25 years, you would know better than I, it hasn't worked. So what did they do? Instead of five a day, they went for nine a day. What we really have to do is sample, sample, sample. You know, when you give a kid a cherry or you give them a piece of fruit, their eyes light up. We really need to do more to get fruits and vegetables in people's mouths, if you would. And back to what Bayer's doing on the broccoli. Now, I haven't tasted it yet, but you know what they've said, what Jenny said, is her three kids love it. It's a sweeter tasting broccoli. It doesn't have that bitter taste. So we really need to have people like Bayer AgroScience do these kinds of things to our food supply to make it more palatable for kids and adults.
And then we also got from John Pandall, which is great
John's
with this topic.
John's busy today.
He is very busy today. "If social media is so damaging to mental health of so many, should we reconsider using social media to distribute help?"
Yeah, you know, John, that's really an interesting point that you're raising. And I guess until we have an option on social media, I mean, that's what we're doing here on LinkedIn Live and on Facebook Live. You know, it's a good distribution network to reach a lot of people that we're doing with this program. But you're right. You know, I think we need to monitor what kind of information on health and wellness we have on social media and make sure it's accurate. Because if you Google anything about health and wellness, you know, 50% of what comes up is a commercial for something, you know, a product that we've never heard of, things like that. So we really need to clean it up if, in fact, we want it to be as accurate as possible. You raise a really important question that we need to address. And especially during the pandemic, now we have more retail dietitians who are using social media to reach more people. So I guess it comes back to the person. If you're a retail dietitian, registered dietitian, you know your stuff, yeah, social media is great. But if you're, you know, some quack or have some product that you want to push out, maybe not so much. Great point, John. And that's it for this week. We will see you here again next week, same time, same place, Facebook Live, LinkedIn Live, YouTube. And also, if you missed any part of this episode, they'll be posted on supermarketguru.com, as well as all of our social media channels. And don't forget, when you go to supermarketguru.com, sign up for our free newsletter. It comes out once a week, and it'll keep you up to date on everything you need to know for the grocery world. Thanks for joining us.